time for Flames Unfiltered, your spot for Calgary Flames hockey talk. It is time for another edition of Flames Unfiltered, hosted by myself, Brad Brood, and Kyle Lewis. Kyle, it is an off-season episode of the show, and lots to talk about this week.
Yeah, quite a lot. You know, the news we were expecting hit. Lots of rumors swirling around the team. So, yeah, it's the off-season, but as usual with Calgary, it's not a boring one by any stretch.
I don't think it'll top next year. Or last year, excuse me, last year. But
say, what are you predicting?
Yeah, maybe we'll. Who knows?
No, I don't think it can. I honestly don't think that's possible. But I mean, it's now it's like the can they make a good team out of this team?
I think so, and I think there is going to be a lot that happens because I think there is going to be a lot of player decisions that are going to have to take place, and we're going to talk about that a little bit on the show today. And
yeah, absolutely.
I got a question before we get started, though. Johnny Gaudreau is going to have to deal with Mike Babcock now for the end of time. How's that going to go?
Well, anybody who follows me or sees probably 1 in 5 of my tweets knows I hate Mike Babcock with all my heart and soul.
That's why I brought it up, Kyle. That's why I brought it up.
Bait. I know. I'm not, but you know, before I, you know, go off too much about how I feel about Mike Babcock anymore than I already have, Daryl Sutter got a ton out of Johnny Gaudreau. There's no reason to think that Mike Babcock can't necessarily do the same thing. He responds very, very well.
He needs to be pushed, I think. I think he does. I think he needs to be pushed. And that's not
a good athlete does, but he's a great example of that.
And I'm not taking a shot at him by saying that. I'm just saying that, I mean, was anybody in Columbus pushed last year?
Pushed around, maybe.
Yeah.
But I mean, they had you know, obviously some significant injuries, not least of which was Zach Werenski. So I think they're going to be a much better team. Actually, you know, since we're talking about the Blue Jackets a little bit, they've done a really nice job retooling the defense.
They are. Quickly. I don't think they're done. I mean, well, they might have to be because they have 9 defensemen under contract. I think I looked it up last night or the night before.
They'll probably move a couple of those guys out, but I mean, bringing in Damon Severson and Ivan Provorov, that's a pretty decent overhaul. Now, defense wasn't necessarily their problem last year, other than that Werenski's absence really exposed a lack of depth, which they seem to have addressed. So we'll see if they can find a center to play with Gaudreau and Laine, and they could be a bubble team next year. I could see them in the playoffs.
Yeah, I could. I could see them either. You know what? If you told me they didn't make it, I wouldn't be shocked. And if you told me they made it, I probably wouldn't be all that shocked either. So
yeah, exactly.
It'd be interesting to see how that plays out. Today on the show, we have a lot to talk about. Even though it's off season, it's been a lot going on, and we kind of knew that when Sutter got fired and Treliving left, and we kind of knew we'd be having these shows where it's like a hire, you know, one after the other. And Ryan Huska was named head coach. How will this go? Kyle and I will talk about it on the show today. Lots of questions with that. And then we will talk about the Hanifin trade talk that has surfaced, along with some Lindholm talk. We'll touch on that. NHL awards, NHL draft preview for the Flames, an outdoor battle in Edmonton coming up in October. And we'll end it with a few thoughts on the Stanley Cup Finals. It is a jam-packed edition of Flames Unfiltered. Initial response, Kyle, to Ryan Huska being named head coach.
It's what I wanted. Either Huska or Love, but a little bit of an edge maybe to Huska just because of his coaching experience.
I was a little surprised, I'm not going to lie. I felt like he was probably the leading candidate initially, and then there was so much talk about Mitch Love, and then a few outsiders talk, and then so much more talk about Mitch Love that I felt like Ryan Huska kind of got lost in the mix amongst the fan base, probably would be the best way to put that.
100%. I mean, the Mitch Love talk comes from, obviously, how well the Wranglers performed. And then the outside candidates are kind of the sexier names, right? So his name definitely didn't pop up as much, but after thinking about how long he's been in the organization, and more so after watching the press conference, hearing how he carried himself, what he had to say. And it's, you know, talk is cheap, but he did say all the right things in terms of what I think what this team needs to do to be successful, and being more offensive is a huge part of that.
I think so. I like the fact that he's his go-to focus is always defense, and I like that aspect about him and everything. And I'll be completely honest with you. I know me and you text a little bit right away when it was announced, and you were very positive about it. I was not negative about it in any way. I wasn't really super positive about it. And quite honestly, and this is on me, I didn't know a ton about Ryan Huska. I knew he was, you know, the coach in Stockton. I know he had a great WHL career. And I know he had been on the bench for 5 years. But my initial thought was, and this is one thing I wanted to discuss a little bit, is my initial thought was, man, if you're going to purge the bench of all the problems last year, is it good to leave this guy as your head guy now? And I think that's a legitimate worry, but probably one that I've probably set to the side now after hearing some of the conversations.
Well, the conversation, and I agree with you, it's definitely a concern. The counterpoint to that is that he witnessed what the players went through. He was under the thumb of the same coach the players felt that, you know, they were under. And now he gets a chance to put his philosophy forth. He was kind of in the trenches with the players, if you will, would be one way of looking at it. So now he's the guy that gets to say, hey, we all know what we went through as a group together last year. I want to bring in a new atmosphere. I want more positivity. I want more offensive-minded thinking. Like, I want system changes. He could say a number of things that could, you know, if the new guy comes in, he wasn't there with them, right? He doesn't really know what it was like. So that's how I'm trying to look at it. Yeah. But in a more basic sense, I want to ask you about this. The press conference itself, how did you react or respond or feel about a coach actually pointedly answering questions with thoughtful answers and engaging with the media? How'd you feel about that?
Well, we haven't seen it for 2 years, 2.5 years.
How'd you find it? What was your feeling from all that?
It was good. I liked it.
Right? I found it engaging. I'm like, it was kind of like Paul Maurice-esque. I'm like, that was really thoughtful. He answered that question directly, you know?
I like that. And, you know, honestly, if you mentioned a guy that sounds like it's staged, like we talked about this before. Honestly, if you said, name me your three head coaches you'd hire, Paul Maurice would probably be in my top two, maybe my top one.
I love Paul Maurice. 100%.
I really like what he does. And it's not because he's in the Stanley Cup Finals now. Come on, guys. He left Winnipeg. I mean, there's a lot of things that are, you know. But anyways, I really like the way he handles things. What I'm interested to see, is we know Craig Conroy is a talker. I think Ryan Huska is very direct. And I actually listened to him a lot on the post-game show last year. And I thought his conversations on the 960 were really good after the games. So that is one thing that I took a positive with him. I think it's interesting, and I'd love to have him sit down and have a beer with me and be honest, because he's learned under Bill Peters for a year and a half, Jeff Ward for a season, and Daryl Sutter for 2.5. And I'd love to know what he's going to take from each of those, because, you know, I know there was a lot of good with Bill Peters. I mean, I know there's a lot of good with Daryl Sutter. Jeff Ward, I struggle to find any good, but that's my own opinion. I would love to know what he's going to take from each of those guys and how he's going to take what he believes and morph that together. It would be an interesting discussion.
Absolutely. I mean, people don't realize how long Ryan Huska has been around the team. Like, we're going all the way back to Abbotsford, I think, is when it started.
Did he coach in it? HL. Yeah. I don't know. He's 47 years old. He's still considered a young coach.
One NHL game to his credit against the Calgary Flames.
Yeah. He's coached, you know, he's coached too.
Yeah.
That was.
I just think the guy has a much more extensive coaching resume than we realize, because there's always that concern, and we talked about this initially, about the cheap hire, right? And when you think about it, like the cheap hire, how often has the expensive hire worked out for us?
Well, it hasn't. And, you know, that was one of the things I brought up to you right away, too, is like, God, do they take the cheap road here? And Craig Conroy even addressed that in the presser, which I thought was crazy, is he said that he was given rein to hire whoever. Was he probably the cheap hire? Probably, but I don't know if that's why they hired him. I have to agree with what you're saying is like, we can regurgitate these coaches over and over and over.
I can't get Mike Keenan in my head right now, but go on.
Well, I mean, even like, okay, today they announced that the Rangers hired Laviolette. And like, as much as I think he's a good coach, like, does that make the Rangers more of a contender next year than Gallant? I don't think so.
I think that team has to do some soul searching as to why they fell flat on their faces.
I think every team, you can pin so much on a coach, but you can't pin it all. I think the Flames need to do a lot of soul searching on why we ended up in the place that we are in.
Well, I think a lot of that has to do with some of the players that we had and the way those players were used, right? So I think some of those, and some of that should become clear, hopefully, in training camp when some of these younger guys become, you know, full-time regulars, a la Walker Duehr, Jacob Pelletier, possibly Azari or a Coronado. There's always surprises in camp, right? But I think player usage was a huge, huge problem for the Flames. For the Rangers, obviously don't follow them as much, but that was a pretty stacked team.
It was a very stacked team. Very stacked team.
And they loaded up with Tarasenko and Kane. Like, man, that's
Elliot
Friedman, like the Rangers of old.
Yeah. Elliot Friedman reported that it was a four-man race for this job with Huska, Love, Green, and Reardon. When I look at those four, I would choose Huska myself. I don't have anything negative to say about Mitchell because I don't know. I have nothing negative to say about Travis Green or Reardon. It just, those names did surprise me a little bit.
Well, me too. Like, Todd Reardon had a pretty good NHL career. It's funny, I remember him best as an Atlanta Thrasher, of all things. But not a very, you know, sexy name, kind of the Bob Bugner type, you know, steady player, which often makes, you know, make some of your best coaches of the guys that weren't real stars. But Travis Green, my only, and this could be completely off base from my perspective, but I always found he was the guy that never really had the room in Vancouver. Like, he was always fighting to get control of it, just never did. He was a very versatile NHL center and I think a well-respected guy, but maybe circumstances were, you know, his downfall there, but he just didn't have the presence that I think he needed to have. It didn't seem that way anyway.
Yeah. And I mean, we're obviously on the outside looking in, but I would agree with that completely. 100%. Was there a fear for you? There is a little bit for me about how do the veterans, the hard-nosed, frustrated veterans on this team, how else do I describe that? I don't know without naming it.
It's a pretty apt description. Well done.
Where's the respect factor for Huska, and how does that all fit into this mix?
Well, I think that, you know, the thing that keeps getting passed around is that the guy paid his dues, and I think that's evident. I think the players know that. I get the sense, based on how he carries himself when he speaks, that they do respect him, and that, you know, for lack of a better word, Daryl Sutter's tenure seemingly turned into complete tyranny. It didn't seem like, you know, anybody on that bench had any say in anything. I don't think so.
I would agree completely.
Yeah, like, and when it worked, it worked. But, I mean, he completely lost the room. That's clear by a lot of the player comments and most certainly by the exit interviews. But there was just, I don't think ever, you know, everybody was just suppressed. So I think they're excited to have a guy that went through all that bullshit with them. Just based on what he said so far, like, yeah, like this is going to be our guy that pulls us out of this and gives us all a second chance. And I got to believe the guy, obviously Jonathan Huberdeau and Nazem Kadri, like those two massive acquisitions, like Uyghur to a lesser extent, Uyghur had a pretty good season offensively. He really came around in the second half.
Yeah.
Like he was their best defenseman, I felt, in the last, you know, fifth of the season kind of thing. But those two big stars, Kadri and Huberdeau, like I think they're going to be thrilled to have Huska as their coach.
I hope so. You know, we're never going to know, but I don't expect it to be a country club atmosphere. We can't have a coach that's going to be that. We can't have a country club atmosphere. We need accountability. We need to demand, you know, production, but yet it can't be run like a communist country like it was the latter part of the Sutter terms.
My biggest fear would be that we have another Glenn Gullison situation where he clearly can't get a handle on the veterans.
I know.
Every time he tries to show emotion or anger, it comes across looking pathetic and more weak than he already did, right?
I know. Jeff Ward, see, and then you had Jeff Ward, who, and correct me if I'm wrong, I looked at him as like he never had the respect of anybody, and then he just, when things went wrong, he just buried his head in the sand and pretend like it didn't happen.
That's how it came across, yeah. So I think Huska said a lot of the right things, and he also, I heard over in that press conference that he had reached out to Elias Lindholm, and it's funny because Connor, I said, oh, I got to reach out to Lindholm or whoever said it, then they asked Ryan, it's like, oh, I already did, like. Very proactive, you know, he realizes his role as coach is going to be vital in keeping Lindholm around if that's the plan, and he seems to be all over it.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. So what happens to Mitch Love now?
Assistant coach.
Do you think he gets offered the assistant?
I think so. He has nothing else he can do at the AHL level, other than win a Calder Cup, but I mean, you know, a lot of those players, like, I expect will be either graduated or be tweeners next year. Dustin Wolf, I expect will be full time on the team. So what's the use in leaving? And Conroy also said, you know, one of the things that detracted from, you know, Mitch Love being considered longer for the head coaching job is that he hasn't had any NHL experience yet. Well, he's earned the NHL experience. I'd make him an assistant.
Do you think we lose him to somebody else? He has a year left. I would have to think the Flames would let him talk.
Oh yeah, but I suspect they had a meeting, and I think they already told him off the record, like, hey, just, you know, we're not going to announce it yet because this is Ryan's time, but we want you full time with the NHL team, and we're going to make an announcement in the coming weeks regarding that.
I would think that would probably be.
I just think, especially, you got to think too. It's like a proud teacher in my mind, especially seeing the way Mitch Love is with his players. If he has the opportunity to talk with, work with, and continue to teach the players he had with the Wranglers, like, he can be a part of their progression, you know, another step in their careers. Guys like Pelche, guys like Dustin Wolf. I mean, I think he'd covet that chance, right?
Yeah. No, I definitely think he's an asset. And that's one of my fears is, like, are we going to lose an asset because of choosing another asset? I mean, you know what I mean? It's
exactly right.
It's a great problem to have, but still is a problem. And then if, you know, I mean, if we lose Love and then Huska doesn't work, then we lost two assets, right?
Yeah. And I think if you have both of them working together, like, yeah, I don't think you can do much more than that. I mean, we could get into this more, but I think it's been pretty well covered in terms of, how guys like Kirk Muller have panned out. I mean, those types of assistants get passed around a lot in league, running power play from here to there. There's some talk about Alex Tanguay coming more, which I'd be in favor of. I think having a French-Canadian player who's offensively minded on your coaching staff is a really good idea.
Do you think we get a veteran assistant coach? Part of me says I think we will.
I could see it. Absolutely, I could see it. Yeah. I think that, you know, if you get Conroy's GM, if they brought in Tanguay as an assistant coach, it's got to be a whole lot more attractive for Jerome McKinley too, right? The guys he enjoyed playing with the most are in town. I mean,
I'm interested. When we've talked a lot about that on the show even, but I'm interested to see where that all pans out. I'm all about, like, tradition and stuff, but that also scares me because if that goes bad, like,
yeah, well, we talked about that in a previous episode.
We did,
right?
We like, did.
But at the same time, the Flames have a very healthy relationship with their alumni. It's a great community. You know, Colin Patterson, Jim Pavlinski, like, all those guys are brought up frequently. If you have a chance to do kind of like Detroit has done with Steve Yzerman, or like the Senators trying to repair the relationship with Daniel Alfredson, like, when you have a legendary player and he can be involved in any capacity day to your team, it's good for the fan base. It's good for the team morale. It's,
yeah.
So hopefully, you know, not to go down that road again too much, but I think in the relatively near future, Jerome McKinley will be a part of that staff in some capacity.
I would think. Also, a lot of talk this week, just suddenly, I don't know if it's suddenly emerged, but Noah Hanifin's name has come up a lot, and Elias Lindholm's name has come up.
Which is funny, the two parts of that huge trade from a few years ago, right? The two big pieces, Calgary back, and Tree Living's arguably biggest trade, probably the biggest trade is GM. I mean, the Hamilton trade's up there too, but...
I had mixed feelings when I saw these reports.
Me too, absolutely. So let's start with Hanifin, because that's the name that's kind of brought up a little more previously, I guess. So mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on potentially moving him? Would you do it? If you did, what are you looking for?
Well, I think when you look at our cap space and you look at our defense, we have to, someone has to get moved. It's, you know, Shillington looks like he'll be back. So or not. Yeah. So you got him coming back into the mix. Someone's got to go. I personally, if I was Craig Conroy, I would be shopping Zadorov because, and here's why. I think right now his value is as high as it's ever been.
16 goals, yep.
I think...
A lot of big open ice hits, too. He was fun to watch this year.
He was. When he was.
Yeah, when he wasn't making poor choices.
Yes.
Some of it was for those big hits I just said. But
anyway. Yeah, but so I feel like and I'm not saying I'm a huge Noah Hanifin fan. I have been. I've always liked his game, but I've always felt like I've been left wanting more. And
that's typical of fleet of foot young defensemen, though, really.
But I keep looking at his age, and I keep seeing 26, and I'm like, he's still young. You know what I mean? Like, are we going to get more? Are we going to trade this guy, and then he's going to be a top-end guy in the league? I think he's a very good top four defenseman. I think he's
top four, not top two.
I agree.
Yeah. And I think...
But I'm just looking at asset management. I feel like we could bring a better return for Zadorov than we could. We could probably get... Our return for Hanifin would be more, but in the realm of... Like, I don't want to get us in trouble where it's like, oh, well, we traded a top four defenseman and we got some pretty good assets, but now we need a top four defenseman.
Well, that would be an ideal segue into Lindholm talk. So I'll go to that in a moment. But for Hanifin, it's so easy on a depth chart in my head on NHL 24 when it comes out on an Xbox to you trade out Hanifin for probably a first, a prospect, and maybe a roster player.
You think we get that much? Because I don't.
I think we could. I don't think it's likely, but the market's really hot for him. But I think it's so easy to move him out for a good return, and Shillington slots right in. Fast defenseman, offensively minded. I think that's a really easy swap to make. Zadorov, I'm a little concerned if you move him, which I think they're definitely going to look at. If you move him, who replaces that big, hard-hitting defenseman for you?
So I kind of, in my head, have Uyghur with Rasmussen, and I kind of have Shillington.
Anderson?
Oh, sorry. Yes. Uyghur with Anderson.
Yeah.
And I kind of have mentally put Tanev with Shillington simply because they were good together when they played together.
They're phenomenal, yeah.
And then... That does leave Zadorov and Hanifin left out. I think one of those guys has got to go. I mean, like, we need, as much as I like puck-moving defensemen and stuff, but I feel like we need a little bit more stay-at-home.
One of them's going. Like, I can't imagine, but mostly as well because of the cap situation. I don't know how you keep them both. I don't know why you keep them both, because at the end of the day, this team is top-heavy on some large contracts. They still have a competitive window. Think you have to leverage your assets, and that's the easiest place to leverage them. Those, like those two players that you've mentioned, and Dan Vladar, because of Wolf's emergence. So I think he's another good return.
So if you move Hanifin, you know, then do you move forward and try to sign Stetcher?
I don't know how you don't, the way he showed when he...
Because then he's a good... He can move the puck well. He has some offensive upside. He's still solid defensively, and he's about a third of the price, right?
Oh, he earned a contract. He absolutely should be re-signed. There's no question. Now that we've gone down this road, what about Flames Unfiltered's personal favorite defenseman? Do you re-sign him again?
Absolutely. He's my
Michael Stone, he's for those who are wondering who we're discussing.
He's already penciled in as my seventh guy. How do you not? Yeah. Like, he's going
to
be...
If I'm Craig Conroy, I'd call him tomorrow and say, hey, league minimum deal, just come down to the sideline whenever you're ready to sign it.
He's my seventh guy.
God, I love that slap shot.
He's so serviceable. I don't know how you don't have that. So then are we good with, like, and we'll dig deeper in summer episodes. We'll get to Lindholm here now in 1 second. But, like, how are you feeling with Uyghur, Anderson, Tanev, Shillington, Stetcher? And we leaves us one guy still, you know. Get rid of both Zadorov and Hanifin? Or do you keep one?
The trades make sense, yeah. I mean, I feel like something's going to happen leading into the draft because, like, it's a deep draft and the Flames are picking in a middling position, right? So I'd like to believe there's going to be some kind of movement on one of those players. It's going
to be a hard draft to move up in, though.
Yeah, but even if it's a few spots and there's decent return attached to whatever pick you're getting, like, you need the cap space. That's what this is ultimately about.
I know. I just look at cap friendly and, like, everybody needs to find cap space. I don't know who's going to take these, you know. It yeah, sounds true. Ridiculous to say that, but other teams are struggling for cap space as much as we are.
But now, well, every year they overspend, and every year the cap doesn't go up enough if it goes up at all, right? So, yeah.
Now Lindholm, where do we go here? What's your thoughts on Lindholm?
Yeah, this is. I was excited to talk about this, and I think you and I, if I dare say, are of the same mind on this one. So, you're going to trade Elias Lindholm so you can look to find another Elias Lindholm?
No.
Like the guy,
you can't trade this guy. You can't. You can't overpay him, but you can't trade this guy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's relative to his worth. He's the most underpaid player in the league, and I will fight anybody to death on that. I think his contract is the best, probably the best. No, it is the best contract that Brad Treliving signed any player to while he was here. That was an absolute steal of a deal.
Rasmus Anderson is up there too.
That's a 1B. That's a good point. That's up there for sure. But I don't, like, how do you get enough return for a guy like that? What does that do with our center depth? Well, what are your thoughts on that? You already kind of indicated it, but please.
Do I want more production out of Lindholm? Absolutely. But is there a center in the league that their fans don't want more production out of? I think he needs to be re-signed. I think he's more of a heart and soul of this team than we've given him credit for. He wins faceoffs. He's so responsible. I don't know how you don't sign this guy. My only worry is, and this is going to be a question I have for you, is like, what does the price tag look like on Lindholm?
You got to pay him all of six to even be anywhere near it. Probably seven, honestly.
I'm hearing people talk eight, and I'm like,
eight's too much. He's going to age out of that. I think he goes seven. You might go, if the term is not too long, as high as 7.5, but it's a lot of money.
So, man, let me ask you this question. And we gave Nazem Kadri 7 till the end of time. I want Lindholm more than Kadri. Yeah. And I'm not saying Kadri. I think he'll have a better year this year. I do. I really do.
We guaranteed he will, 100%.
I don't know. I mean, I know the cap's going to be going up and everything. I would hate to be, I'd love, if right now we could get Lindholm at 7.5, I'd be like, heck yeah.
Yeah.
We get into the 8.5, I'm starting to worry.
I think that's why Ryan Husker reached out when he did. I think that's why Craig Conner was reaching out. I think they got themselves back to zero with Lindholm in terms of the likelihood that it'll stick around, because it wasn't looking good. And I can't imagine a trade proposal where it makes sense to trade this guy. I really can't.
I don't think I don't know how you feel about this. I don't think me or you would ever be happy with what return we get for him.
I don't know how all these Flames fans are suggesting that we trade Elias Lindholm and expect the team to still be competitive next year.
They want to trade everybody. They want to trade everybody. And I'm like, why would we trade? Who are we finding to replace Elias Lindholm by October 5th of next year?
I can't answer that. That's why we don't do it.
Because we don't have anybody in Stockton that's filling that role. We're not moving up Backlund or Kadri to center our number one line. They got to figure this out. They've got to figure this out.
There's no trade out there that you make. I'd be shocked if we're back on the show after we've traded Elias Lindholm, if we do, and we're saying, wow, that was a good deal.
I am too. But I also believe
it might be a deal where it's like, you know what, this could pan out long term, maybe. But there's no way we sit here and say that was a really good deal.
I think this gets done.
Yeah.
I really do believe this gets done.
So we talked about this at the outset, and I'll bring it up briefly as it relates to this. I've shared my thoughts, you did a little bit too, but let's get back into that. When did Frank Cervelli become the Flames insider? And where is this whole notion that either he signs or is traded by the draft come from? Like, it just,
I don't, I'm not sure where he's getting that from. I mean, I like Frank Cervelli. I've always enjoyed listening to him, but it seems like he's got a lot to say about the Flames, but it also seems like his sources, a lot of the times with the Flames, are incorrect, because he was saying Mitch Love was almost a lock. That didn't happen.
Nope.
He was also saying, I believe, that Sutter was not going anywhere. That didn't happen.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's an interesting. I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah, I don't get it. He comes across very arrogant, I find. But
anyway. He's not an Elliot Friedman.
No, he certainly is not. But really, who is?
good point. One quick thing I wanted to bring up before we get on to the awards, but Oscar Dansk re-signs a one-year deal at $775,000. I think, and I know this isn't probably top, well, it's not top of the list to talk about on the pod today, but I liked that contract. I thought he was really good last year in Stockton. And it also...
Calgary, not Stockton, remember?
Oh, geez. That's the first time I made that mistake in a while now.
I know. I'm surprised, yeah.
Oh. Yeah. I thought he was good, and what I also saw in that is, to me, that looked like planning to make sure we had a starter in Calgary AHL. So that would allow Wolf to be up.
Yeah, that's... It's interesting. So, it's funny, I'm like filling in the depth chart in my head. I like the Oscar Dance deal as well. I think it's sensible. I think he's a good tweener goalie who could play in the NHL for a short spell if he was needed, because he's done it in the past. But... I don't know how that all plays out. I still think Vladar gets traded to Markstrom and Wolf in the NHL. Then you have Dansk and...
Well, that's what I mean. I feel like it opens up the spot so that we have a starter ready to go in Calgary AHL.
Yeah, but so it would be... oh, my God. How do you pronounce his name? Our Russian goaltending prospect. Andre...
It's not Andre Trefalov. Remember him?
No, God, it's not. No. No, it's definitely not him.
Let me look here.
He's been really, really good.
He's not even on my list right here. So
hang on. Let me look it up, too. This is embarrassing. I should know his friggin' name. I can picture the guy, but...
Well, I'm going to let you butcher his name, because I will butcher it. I'm not very good with some...
Yeah, it's... Anyway, I'm going to look for that in the meantime. We'll keep rolling, because... Yeah.
So the NHL award show are quickly upon us, and Michael Backlund was originally one of the finalists for the King Clancy, and now he's made it to the final three along with Anders Lee and Darnell Nurse. This is an award given to the player who exemplifies leadership qualities on and off the ice and has made noteworthy humanitarian contributions to the community. Outside of Michael Stone, I'm probably the biggest Michael Backlund fan out there. I really feel like he's earned this nomination and would love to see him win the award.
He absolutely has. By the way, Arseny Sergeyev.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a good chance that he could take that role in the AHL. Anyway, we'll see how the summer plays out. We'll get into that some more later. But yes, Michael Backlund, agreed. Well, let's tie this into another thing that was brought up at the press conference then. First of all, yes, well-deserved nomination. No question about it. Is he captain of this team in the fall? What are your thoughts?
Yeah.
I like that. The soft delivery, like, I got to think about it. Nope, I know exactly what I'm going
to
say.
Yeah, and there's going to be a part two to this, Kyle. I'm going to be doing a Flames shorts here. Flames Unfiltered shorts on that topic. I just penciled out some info on it today. I'm a big Michael Backlund guy. I know a lot of people in Calgary are like, oh, he doesn't put up the points. Michael Backlund does so many things on and off the ice for this team that have gone so unnoticed, almost because he's been here forever. Like, I feel like people just take him for granted. I think he's a key part. I think he took a lot of heat last year, and I think he deflected a lot of heat away from other players last year. I think that being said, I don't even think he had a bad season last year. So I don't know. I think he's has all the attributes, and the center depth that he gives us in a 3C spot is unreal in my mind.
You can't get more value for a guy like that. And the way he's been able to step up offensively in the past, too. He was kind of a tweener number two center for a while, but as number three center, I find me a better one. I don't think you're going to, right?
We mislabeled him for a long time only because we had shitty centers.
We've had shitty centers for most of the team's existence.
So he was forced to play above his head. And he is a perfect third liner. Let's put it this way. Like you said, find me a better third line center. Like, good luck. Good luck.
Yep.
The draft.
So,
go ahead.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Well, exactly, the draft.
The Flames draft 16th overall.
Which is right in our wheelhouse. We seemingly almost always draft in that mid-teens range.
We have 5 total picks.
Yep.
We traded 2 of them away. The third rounder we traded for Yarncroc, and the 5th we traded for Toffoli. I don't know. I'm not a huge... I mean, I'm the first to admit I'm not a huge prospects guy. But I do know that...
I hone in on certain guys, but yeah, go on.
But I do know that picking 16th isn't the end of the world, because I did a little research because I was feeling down in the dumps that we were picking 16th, and there's been a lot of guys picked around the 16th range, like Barzal, Newhook, Chychrun.
Yeah.
You know, Art Zadorov was picked, right? I believe he was 16th overall by Buffalo.
Also, Bears number 16. Fun fact.
Yeah. Valimaki?
Yep. I have one player in mind, and I won't take credit for thinking of this because I didn't, but saw it on Flames Nation, heard it mentioned elsewhere. But I'm a big believer in NHL bloodlines. Yes. And if I'm looking at a player that the Flames, I think, should draft, if they can, if he's still available, is Ethan Gauthier. Son of former Flames defenseman and former Flames first-round pick, Denis Gauthier.
Yeah.
Also cousin of Julien Gauthier of the Ottawa Senators. And perhaps most importantly for all your wrestling geeks out there, a family member of the famous Rougeau wrestling family out of Quebec. So if you want to know where the Gauthiers get all their toughness from, it's from the Rougeau side.
There you go.
So here's just a quick scouting report on Ethan Gauthier and why I'm high on this guy. Ethan is always a dominant factor. He's consistent every single shift. The first thing that stands out is his persistent and ruthless ability to get on the attack and establish a forecheck. He's constantly involved, digging for loose pucks in the corners, engaging in battles to separate the player from the puck to regain possession. The work ethic and drive that he possesses will have teams calling, that's for sure. Gauthier is very crafty and deceptive with the puck on his stick. That is
what we need.
Pretty much what based on the couple of defensive prospects we have in the pipeline and the age of some of our better defensemen, I think they should be looking for a forward, preferably center or right wing. Traditionally, our two weakest positions. Yep. Let me clarify that. We'll have one position like a Jerome McGinley, who's dominant, world class right winger, and then you've got BCD that are AHL caliber at best.
Yes,
or in the back nine of their NHL career. So I try to draft. I mean, they always say, I've drafted the best player available. I agree with that to a point, but if you have a glaring need in your roster, then...
So what do you think our needs are this year? Because I look at our roster and I feel like goaltending, I feel real comfortable. Defensively, I feel pretty darn comfortable for the most part. And I still think, like right now, I think we need a difference-making forward. I'm not sure if I even pinpointed down to a positional forward. I think we need a difference-making forward. I hate to, you know, rip on. I'm gonna single out a few guys that we've drafted in the past, like Dylan Dubé. Like, is he a difference making forward for us?
No.
Like, no. I look at a lot of our prospects. Like Andrew Mangiapane, is he a difference making forward?
He was trending towards being one, but this year
I think
he
so wasn't. Too. Yeah, and can he do it again? Probably. Shit, I hope he does. We're paying him $5.8 million.
Yeah.
I worry sometimes about difference making forwards that this organization has drafted. And I've been critical of their drafting since the early 90s. And
rightfully so.
I think it's, and I we had to acquire him. I know he's a prospect like Schwint. I thought he was a great acquisition. I thought he was super good. Obviously, like our first round pick from last year. I think we're moving in the right direction there with Zary and stuff like that, but like they're unproven in the National Hockey League still, so it's pretty hard to comment on hopes and prayers, right?
I do think the drafting's been significantly better the last few years.
It has, I think.
Yes. They've been graduating players like Anderson, Mangiapane, both from the Barry Colts, incidentally. Coronado looks like he's going to be an NHL player. His ceiling, who knows, but Jacob Pelletier, same thing, was great when he played. So I think we're starting to turn that corner, but we'll know a lot more over the next two seasons if we actually improved at drafting or not. Because there's a lot of prospects that are right at the tipping point of being presumably regulars. And how good of a regular we're going to be, well, hopefully we'll find out.
I think that would be my key target, would be a difference making forward. I think, secondly, I think it's not too early to start looking for Chris Tannen's replacement.
He's another guy that could be traded if the right deals out there.
Yeah, a bit. You know, I love him, I'd hate to see him get traded. But my only justification to him being moved would be like, I worry about him injury-wise. I really, really do. And
I think unless the Flames are competitive in the second half of the season, I think he's a guy you sell very high on at the trade deadline.
Yeah. Yeah, that could be. That could be. I think we need to start looking for that next defenseman that's going to step into that role. And, you know, is it a prospect or is it somebody we acquire? I don't know. Time will tell. But I don't think you can draft enough big, strong, tough defensemen.
Well, they have to be able to play, right? It's like the old argument about goons. I mean,
oh yeah, I mean they got to be mobile. I mean,
yeah, like the guys that are slick skating. But to your point though, we've seen regular season being very, very meaningless, and then those heavy hitting guys in the playoffs, man, that's what you want. That's what you need.
You know, you just look at the impact those players make, and it's going to be important. And the draft will be interesting with five picks for the Calgary Flames. My gut tells me there'll be some moves at this draft simply because there's a lot of talk already and a lot of teams needing to shed some cap space. Yep. Calgary to play Edmonton outdoors on October the 29th at Commonwealth Stadium. Your thoughts?
I hope it's a good game. Outdoor games are such a novelty now. It's like they used to be a special attraction. Now they have them like Los Angeles. It's like, what the hell are you? Anyway, whatever. Trying to grow the game, I get it, but it's like, nah. Calgary up into the door sounds like a lot of fun to me, so that's something I'm going to consider attending for sure. What are your feelings about it?
I'm not a big outdoor fan. I
the camera angles always suck. It's too far from the ice.
But, like, personally, like, if I'm going to a game, I want to go to the arena. I mean, I don't know. It's fine once a year. We're just getting way out of hand on it. And,
Oh, there's so many of them. It's not a special attraction anymore.
No, it's not. And unfortunately, I'm probably not as positive as I should be on this announcement. Because I'm like, crap, we hardly got to play Edmonton last year, and it's rocking in there when we're playing them. I don't want to have to worry about crappy ice or something like that. I want to play.
Yeah, exactly.
Stanley Cup Finals are possibly ending in a few hours here as Game 5 is tonight. And the Golden Knights look to close it out. Late breaking news is Matthew Tkachuk not playing tonight. Will be interesting to see. What's your thoughts on the final so far?
It's a little disappointing that Florida's been rather heavily overmatched. But I was really hoping for more from them. But I think they're banged up bad. I think you're going to see a laundry list of injuries once this is over.
I think it's going to be a monster list, and I think it's going to be injuries bigger than what we ever anticipated.
Absolutely. It's a little disappointing. I was hoping to see Bennett and Tkachuk, and to a lesser extent, Ryan Lomberg, maybe win a Stanley Cup, despite the feelings about Tkachuk leaving Calgary, but Vegas is a damn good team.
I've been cheering for him. My only hope is if Vegas wins this, I hope they get it out of their damn system and they start to fall back.
Probably. Oh, yeah, they will. They will.
I don't know how they can sustain this team. Like, okay, Aiden Hill, he's been good, right? Is Aiden Hill the goaltender for the Vegas Golden Knights next year?
No, he's going to go, Matt Murray-esque. Murray won two cups. But, I feel like he's, or even Cam Ward, right? Like, great run, and then just, okay, man, see ya.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I'm with you. I don't even, I'm with you.
But that's what makes the playoffs so weird, right? So
it is. It's a momentum. Once your team gets going, gets things rolling, much like Florida did heading into the finals, injuries have caught up with them.
Yep, big time.
All in all, I thought a very good Stanley Cup playoffs. The finals have been a little bit mediocre at best, but who knows? Maybe a Florida win tonight changes that. But
they can stick with out and somehow Tkachuk plays the next game. It's a different series, but I just don't see it happening.
I don't either. Upcoming things in the National Hockey League Awards show on Monday, June 26th. the draft on Wednesday, the 28th, round one, and rounds 2 through 7, Thursday, the 29th. Nashville is the home of the draft this year.
So weird, not on a Friday this year, eh?
Yeah, it was a Friday last year, wasn't it?
Yeah. So I that being said, I mean, we'll likely be recording right around that time once we get through the first few rounds of the draft.
Yeah, we will definitely have to touch base, and there could be a lot of moves by then. Who knows, right?
Oh, and if there's moves prior to that, you'll probably hear from us prior to that.
Yep, because that's Kyle and I are going to be doing it. We will do an award show draft post show. We'll talk about any player movement that takes place, and if something happens in the meantime, Kyle and I are there to throw out our opinions.
You can always interact with us on our, remember our favorite word, socials.
Socials. That was last week's episode, right? I forgot about that. Damn it. I should have wrote that down.
You're welcome.
Stupid stuff we say on the show, right?
Just, yeah, what do you expect? You know us at this point, right?
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Flames fans. We appreciate each and every listen. Follow us, download us, everything there. And like Kyle said, find us on socials. Enjoy the off season. Enjoy the summer months. Good time to spend time with family and friends. And enjoy the nice weather. We'll be back talking Flames hockey real soon.
Can't wait, guys. Take care.
Connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. Check out the Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Host Brad Brood is on Twitter at Brad Brood, and host Kyle Lewis is on Twitter at VanLewis14. Like what you hear? Rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Flames Unfiltered can be found on all the major podcast players. Want to watch the show? You got it. Check out Inside Edge Hockey Media Group for every show. Subscribe while you watch. Thanks for listening, watching, and interacting. Enjoy the hockey action.
The win comes! Play on! Yeah, baby! Play on! Yeah, baby!
Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk. This episode of Flames Unfiltered was copyrighted and produced by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.